Today's shir is Masechet Ksubos Daf Yud Zayin. We will begin on Daf Tazayin on the base. Two lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan, Ketz Merak Nufnei Akala. Exactly how do we dance in front of the Kala? And as the Mefarshim explain, the Gemara's question is, what do we sing when we dance in front of the Kala? Because, as the Mashah points out, that the main point of the mitzvah is to do something that make the kala and chassan happy. And the question is, what words will make the chassan and kala happy? The Torah says how important it is to dance and be mesamech the chassan and kala. The Medrash says that we know, says the Torah, that Izevel, the wife of Achav, was a horrible Rishas. She was a horrible person. But the dogs, as they attacked her, did not touch her hands and feet. Because she was the individual who would attend weddings and would dance with her feet and clap with her hands. And because of that, she, even though she did such terrible averis, was her hands and feet were spared. The Rav Chanan says that the main point of this Ketz Merak Lufnei Chassan V'Kala is to make that they should appreciate each other. They should recognize how well they did in marrying each other, and that's going to bring simcha. So I saw that the Sefer Avnei Shoyim explains that we very often find that the Pasuk connects simcha with the Shechina. We find that when they were bringing the Aron to the Beis, they were bringing the Aron, David HaMelech danced and clapped. The reason David HaMelech danced and clapped was because that's how he brought the Shechina to this event. We say in Tehillim, Maharim Rogdu Ke'elim, Givoyz Kivnei Tzoyin, Malach HaYom Kisonos, Hayadim Hayharim Tergedu Ke'elim, Givoyz Kivnei Tzoyin. All of these situations, all of these dancing is with the goal of bringing the Shechina closer. So Avnei Shoyim explains, since the purpose of getting married, Ish v'Isha, Zachu, if a husband and wife and Zaycha, Shechina Shuri b'neim, the Shuri is there, the Shechina is there. So the Gemara says, how do we dance? What can we do for Simcha in order that there should be Shechina between this Chassan and Kala? And when we have the Shechina b'Chassan and Kala, that's going to bring Shalom Bayis to this Chassan and Kala. Another pshat that I saw is that what happens when people dance? They lift one foot and put down another foot. What is that coming to speak about? That what we're trying to show is that, again, trying to send a message to this Chassan V'Kala that they should have Shalom Bayis amongst themselves. How does one achieve Shalom Bayis? Sometimes between a couple, sometimes one member of the pair is on top and the other person gives in, and sometimes it's the other way. We're trying to teach the Chassan V'Kala that we should stand. We should have that. If they have that approach, they have that attitude to each other, they will be zoicha to Shalom Bayis. Another pshat that I saw from the Sefer Tferes Meshulam, that the word Ketz Merakdim Lifnei Akala is the same word Hamelech. A Chassan and Kala need to realize as they stand in front of by the chuppah. So we know that on the Yom and the Roim, as the Baal Tefillah starts Shachris, he proclaims Hamelech. The Chassan and Kala should know that they are standing under the chuppah, they're standing in front of the Melech Malchi HaMelochim. And by standing in front of the Melech Malchi HaMelochim HaMelech, this moment as they get married and their whole lives, they live a life of HaMelech, of Yirah Shemayim, they will be successful in their lives. Another pshat that I saw from the Sefer Yismach Doidim is Ketz Merakdim Lifnei Akala stands for Malka. That we know that a chassan is doim l'melech. A chassan is compared to a king. But we announce to the king, we announce to the chassan, the melech, do you know how you will always be a melech? You will always be a melech if Ketz Merakim Lefnei Akala. If you remember the words that you had there, and that is that you remember that the Kala is a Malka, and you show that respect to her, then you will have a wonderful life. So again, the Gemara goes in, Ketz Merakim Lefnei Akala. The Ben Yoyada says that the word Merakim is the word that we find in Masechta Shabbos. In Masechta Shabbos, Merakim is one of the Malachas that are done on Shabbos, and that Malacha represents Beirur, to filter. Ketz Merakim Lefnei Akala, he explains, is what we mean to say is we have to, when a Chas and a Kala get married, they have to be able to filter out and sift out what's important in life and what is not important in life. And when a Chas and a Kala live their lives by filtering out what's not important and making what's important, they will have a great life. So, B'Shamay Oimrim, Kala Kama Shehi. We're supposed to say the way it is. B'Shamay Oimrim, Kala Nava Chsuda. No matter what the Kala is, we're supposed to say she's wonderful. And B'Shamay's explanation, the reason for B'Shamay is very easy to understand. B'Shamay's opinion is that Medvah Sheket Terchak, one has to be careful to always say the truth. So even if the Kala is not that great, we have to be careful only to say the truth and nothing but the truth. Beis Hillel says we should say Kala Novach Suda. So what is Pshat and Beis Hillel? So the Shita quotes an earlier version of Rashi that the Gemara Masechta Megillah says that Esther was Yirak Roikas Hoysa. Esther wasn't really so beautiful, but Chut Shel Chesed Moshech Aleha. There was some, Akash Baruch Hu made her look beautiful. Says the Shita, that's what Beis Hillel says, that even if the Kala does not necessarily that attractive, but she is a Kala Novach Suda, because just like Esther, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made her look beautiful and attractive, every Kala. Another Pshat is that Kala Novach Suda, the Taz says, is that for every Chosan and Kala, they are the perfect match for each other. So even if towards other people, she's not necessarily so attractive, but for the Chos and the Kala, they are attractive to each other, and that's all that counts. The Prisha explains that Kala Novach Suda doesn't only mean a person who's not necessarily physically beautiful, but even a person who may not be that beautiful, they have great personality, they do wonderful things. And therefore, you could say Kala Novach Suda, even if she's not that beautiful. However, the Ritva takes a different approach altogether. He says that if it's in order, as we've been discussing, to create a situation of Shalom Bayis, in order to make the Chassan recognize and realize how wonderful his Kala is, so if that's the purpose of what you're saying, there's no Isser of Medvah Sheket Terchak, which opens up. There's an interesting discussion in the Paiskim, and the Rishonim already, under what circumstances may somebody say something which is not 100% true. Of course, the Rebbeinu Yoina and the Shari Tshuva, Shari Beis, Kuf Ayin Ches through Kuf Beis, says one is not allowed to lie. If by saying the lie, he could cause damage to somebody else. If that's the result of his lie, then you're not allowed to say something which is not 100% true. But if the only purpose in what you're saying is to do just the opposite, is to cause that somebody should be happy, as we're learning here, by telling the chassan that you have such a wonderful kala, so the purpose is not chas v'shalom to say something not true, to hurt somebody. The purpose is, on the contrary, that one makes the Chassan and Kala happy with each other, then we could be more lenient. However, the Gemara Masechta Sukkah, Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, says, V'amar Rav Zeira Loilema Inish Liyinuka, a person may not tell a child that you have Lachmidi, that I'm going to give you something, V'lo Yav Lei, and then you don't end up giving it to him, Mesom De Osei L'Gemur Shikra, that's going to teach him to say something not true. So as much as our Gemara is teaching us that we're allowed to say something to make the chassan and kala feel good about each other, we have to be careful not to in any way make saying something non-true part of our lifestyle. And therefore, that they explain, we use the words kala nava chsuda. By using the words kala nava chsuda, we're not explicitly saying something which is not true. It's only saying something that could be interpreted that way. And since it's not an explicit lie, and besides that it's not an explicit lie, it's for a very positive purpose, and there's nobody's going to be harmed by what he's saying. That's why Chazal said he could say Kal Nava Chsuda. Says the Gemara, Amalam Beishamil Beisilo. Beishamil says to Beisilo, Haresha Hoysa Chiger Sasuma. So he says, what will you say if the Kala is missing a leg or she's blind? Amalam, are you going to say Kal Nava Chsuda? But Torah Medvah Shaka Techuk. So how could you say something which is such an explicit lie? Amr Beis Shehil Beis Shammai. So Beis Hill defend their opinion to Beis Shammai. Ledvrechem. Mishalokach Ra Menashuk. Somebody bought something, and he bought something which is a lemon. Mishabchena Be'enov. Should you make him feel good, or you genena Be'enov? Or should you make him feel bad? Havaimer, of course, Yishabchena Be'enov. So many Mefarshim explain this dialogue between Beis Shammai and Beis Hill in the following fashion. They say, What the Gemara means to say here is like this. There's a machlokes throughout Shas, under what circumstances may somebody get divorced. And according to Beis Shammai, the halach is, you're not allowed to get divorced unless you find kimotzaba ervestava. And if it's not such a serious situation, you may not get divorced. So what Beis Hillel is saying to Beis Shammai, if somebody's buying something from a store, and he knows which store he bought it from. So then, if it turns out that there's a problem with what he bought, that the material that he bought is damaged, so then he can go back to that store and say that what I bought is damaged, please return my money, it's a mekach tos. But if you bought something from the shuk, if you bought something in the street from a peddler who's here today and not here tomorrow, so there's nowhere to go back. Said Beis Hillel to Beis Shammai, according to you, there's no point in saying something bad because the Chas and the Kala have to remain married unless Chas v'Shalom, there's a terrible situation. And because of that, the right thing is that we should say Kala Nava Chsuda. And again, as we keep on repeating, because it's not really an outright lie. And because it's not an outright lie, then it will be accepted. I saw another pshat that Yishabchena Be'enov, everything, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. What the Gemara means to say is that even if the Kala has some sort of a flaw, but by you saying nice things about the Kala, what's going to happen is that it'll cause that the Chassan should look at the Kala in a positive way. And that's it. And then by doing so, they will be satisfied with each other. Mikan Amr Chacham continues to Gemara, Lo'olam Teidatish Adam Urevus Mabriyas. A person should, Rashi explains, always cause a situation that there should be peace and harmony of amongst people. And by saying this to the Chassan, that's what you're going to create. Another pshat that the Farshim suggest is that even if you have something which is not great, but a person should learn that whatever he has, he should be satisfied with what he has. Lo'olam yedatim urvam abriyas, whatever you have, you should be satisfied with. Kyasar of Dimi. When Dimi came, he said, Hachim mashir kam kalsa b'marova. This is what they used to sing in front of the kalas in Eretz Yisrael. Lo'i chal, this kala doesn't need not to wear makeup, lo'i srak, she doesn't have to wear face makeup, eye makeup, lo'i pirchas, she doesn't have to make her hair, v'yal eschein, and she's still beautiful. Again, trying to say how wonderful the Kala is. But the Ein Yaakov has a different pshat. The Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Shekha Chayn, Vehevel HaYoyfi, beauty is not what counts. Isha Yiras Hashem Yitasalol. What is important is the Yiras Shemayim. And that's what they would tell the Chassan. All the outer trappings are not what's important. What's important, like chav, like srak, all these outer things are not what's important. What's important is the yalas chayin. Isha Yiras Hashem Hitasala. Kisamcha Rabbanan Reb Zeira. When they gave smicha to Reb Zeira, Sharlei Hachi, they sang for him as follows. L'chalo Yisrak V'lepirchus V'yal Schein. That, again, he was wonderful. Kisamcha Rabbanan Reb Amil Reb Asi, Sharlei Hachi, they said to them as follows. Kom Midein V'kom Midein Smicha Lanu. Only people such as Rav Ami and Rav Asi should receive smicha. Loi tismuchu lanu, but don't offer smicha. Loi mitzarmisim, people who say the wrong pshat in the halacha. Loi saram titim, they don't explain themselves properly. V'amila loi minachamisim, people only explain 20% of the halacha. One has to explain the entire halacha. Loi mitarmisim, not from people who are empty. People should be people who have what to offer. So the pshat, why did they say this by Rav Zeira smicha lechav lepchas? So the Yad Ram explains, because Rav Zeira was a very quiet person. And when they gave him smicha, they didn't really know him. And they said that even though we don't really know him, we should know that his learning tells us who he really is. Another pshat that the Mashal explains, that this is a lesson to Talmidei Chachamim, that even though somebody's a great Talmud Chacham, he should always act with tznius. The Ben Yoyada explains that what they were saying about Reb Zeira, it wasn't anything external that made him great. He was truly a great person. So the Gemara told us that when they gave smicha to Rav Ami Rav Asi, Kol midein smicha lanu. So Chassam Sof explains that what they were being told, that when they will ultimately give smicha, because the way smicha worked, as the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin teaches us, is that it was an unbroken chain. You should be careful to give smicha only to people like you who are worthy of smicha. But Chassam Sof explains that carries with it a problem. Because Rav Ami and Rav Asi did not consider themselves particularly great people. So if they didn't consider themselves particularly great people, when they're going to give smicha to Talmidim, they may not necessarily look for Talmidim who are great people. Because they're going to say, we got smicha and we aren't that great, so we could give smicha to other people who aren't necessarily that great. So what did they tell them? Don't look at yourself when you give smicha. What you should do is look at Rav Ami should look at Rav Asi. Rav Asi should look at Rav Ami. They should each look at the other person. And if they each look at the other person and see how wonderful they are, that should become the model for whom they may give smicha to. Rav Avuha Kava Asim Masifta. Rav Avuha, when he would come home from the Beis Medrash, Lebe Kaiser, Nafkamsa, the maids of the king's home would go out to greet him. They would sing to him, Rabbi da Ame, the leader of Klai Yisrael, Madame da Umse, the spokesperson of his people, but Sira da Nara, his face glows, Brich Messiah L'Shalom, may you be blessed. So the Pasha Pshat, Rashi explains, is to teach him, they called him, that his face glowed. That's what Pshat Sira Nara. Other, the Ramah explains that what it meant was that he was Meir Einech Chachmam Chachmasai. As they sat in the yeshiva and they learned, he was the one that able to teach other people and help them understand what they were learning. The Flo explains that what they were saying is that even though he was such a great Talmud Chacham, he didn't say, well, I'm going to be a Talmud Chacham, I'm going to be spending my time just learning. He was the leader of his people. He was the person who shined and glowed and concerned, and even though he was this great Talmud Chacham, thought about other people. Amar Allah al Yehuda Baloi, says the Gemara, they said regarding Yehuda Baloi, as he would come to a wedding, Shayunaitel Bach al Hadas, he would take a Hadas, Miraklefne Kala, and dance in front of the Kala, and say, Kala Nova Chsuda. And Mashah explains that even though throughout Shas, Rabbi Yehuda Baloi is identified as an individual who's Tarasoi Yimnasoi. And somebody who's Tarasoi Yimnasoi is typically exempt from doing all these things, from doing mitzvahs. And certainly we should say that he's exempt from having to go to a chasna and dance in front of the chasna. Still, this is what he did. And says the Gemara, Rashmul Bar Yitzchak Merakra Tlas. He used to take three sticks of hadas and juggle them in front of the chasna kala. Amar Abzeir Kamachsalon, Saba, you're embarrassing us that you the Talmud Chacham, that's the way you're behaving. Says the Gemara, Kinach Nafshi. However, when he was Nifter, Ifsik Avur Amuda de Naira, there was a flame, a fire that separated between the Deil Kula Alma, between him and everyone else at the funeral. The Gemiri, and we have a Kabbalah. The Loi Ifsik Amuda de Naira, that such an occurrence doesn't happen, Elali Chad Bedar El Trebedar, either to only one or two people in each generation. Amar Abzeira, Sir Abzeira commented, Ahanilei Shutze L'Sova, this hadas that he would dance with is what helped him. Ramalei Shtuse L'Saba, the fact that he acted like he made himself look foolish, that's what helped him. Ramalei Shitze L'Saba, his minig is what helped him. Why specifically is there a point to take hadas? So the Medrash says that Yaakov Avinu is an individual who's compared to hadas, because hadas has many leaves. So too did Yaakov Avinu have many children. So as we stand by the wedding, we wish this chasana kala that they should ken yirbu, that they should have many blessed children. The Ben Yoyada says that hadas represents tzaddikim, and therefore, since the hadas represents tzaddikim, we give the chasana kala bracha that they should have children who are tzaddikim. The Pesach Hanayim goes back to something that we mentioned at the beginning of the shiur. The Gemara says the Esther, we know her name was Hadassah. And the Gemara, as we quoted in Masechta Megillah, says regarding Esther, Chut shel Chesed Mashuchala. She was everybody liked her. And we give a bracha to the Chasan and Kala that you should be always Chut shel Chesed, you should always be people that people should like. Another pshat that I saw is that the Hadas represents Anova. And we're telling modesty, humble. And we're telling the Chasana Kala that if you act in a humble fashion, then you will be Zoicha to have a wonderful Bayis Neman B'Yisrael. And Rabbi Chanan explains, what is the Gemara teaching us here? That just like as we quoted also earlier in the Shir, when David HaMelech transported the Aron Kodesh, he danced in front of the Aron Kodesh, and his wife asked him, is it appropriate, Michal, his wife, asked him, is it appropriate that a Melech Yisrael should dance in front of dance that way? And he answered that it was the Kavod HaTorah. So Reb Zeira was saying that this is included, not only is it in a case of Kavod HaTorah, that we should do whatever we can, but even when it's been Adam L'Chaveroi, we should act this way. The Chidah explains that why is a person that acts this way, the person has a fire in front of them. So he explains that we know the Pasuk says that as Klal Yisrael were traveling through the Midbar, Vashem Holech Lefneim Yoimim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu traveled in the form of a fire in front of them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Moichel on his cover. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not concerned with his honor, but he went in front of the Klal Yisrael to do for them. So too, a person like Rav Shmuel in our Gemara, like Rav Yehuda Bar Loi in our Gemara, who weren't concerned with their own honor as they came to a chasana, but they were worried about making the chasana kala feel good. So they learned the lesson of that Amar Eish, that fire that existed for Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. They learned the lesson of that Amar Eish, and that's why they were deserving that they should have an Amar Eish when they leave the world. Rav Acha Makal Kasfei, Rav Acha would take the kala on his shoulders and merak it. The Mefarshim all point out that when the Gemara says that he took him on his shoulders, doesn't mean he actually put it on his shoulder. He put it on a chair that he put on his shoulder. Amalei Rabbanan, not man lavet hachi. So the Rabbanan asked, may we do so as well? If when you take the kala, it seems like you're carrying a beam, then you could absolutely do so. But if you don't feel, if you're not on that madrega, then the halacha is loy don't do so. Only a person who could really feel, who doesn't affect in any way, then he could act that way. Amar Shubha Nachmani Amar Yonason, Mutl Stakal of Nekala Kol Shiva, one may stare at the Kala during the Sheva Brachas, Kadei L'chavava Abala, to make her, everybody should see how attractive it is. The less Hilchas Kala say, the Halacha is not that way. And as a Machloikas, what does it mean? It's not that way. Some explain that never, it's not appropriate for a man to look at a woman. Others say that on the first day of the Sheva Brachas, we are allowed to do so. And others say it only means, as we discussed earlier, that when they, in the beginning of the parak, when the kala goes out, behinuma, when the kala goes out with that veil, so as she's going to the chuppah, we're allowed to look at her. Any other time, we may not. Says the Maratana Rabbanim Avir, Mesameis Lefnei Akala, if there's a chosin and a kala going, the halacha is we put the mace to the side to take it to because of the kala. V'zeh, and both of them are put to the side, Mefnei Melech Yisrael, in front of a king. Amar Lav Al Grisus HaMelech, they said regarding Agrifus, Shavu Lefnei Akala, that he let the kala go in front of him. And the Chachamim praised him that even though it wasn't what he was supposed to do, but that's what he did. So Rambam says that this halacha that we're learning in a Gemara is in a situation where that's what happened. We came somewhere and there's a chosin, there's a kala, and there's a levaya. What should we do? But the Ramban takes a different approach. The Rambam says that if we have to perform a wedding, and we have to perform a chasna, a levaya, the Gemara is saying that we should first perform the levaya, and then we should first perform the chasna, and then the kala, and then the levaya. But it, interestingly enough, even though that's the halacha regarding the chasna and the levaya, the funeral and the wedding, it seems that if somebody has an option that he has to go be menachem avol somebody, and at the same time, he also has to go to a shiva call. It seems that the shiva call comes first. Says the Gemara that Agrifus stood away to let the kala pass, and they praised him for that. Says the Gemara, Mechalal the Shaprovid. Obviously, the Gemara is saying that that's the proper thing to do. But ask the Gemara of Amar of Ashi, Afil Amand Amar Nasi Shemachal Akvoide Kvoide Machal. Even according to the opinion that a Nasi can be Machal on his covered, Melech Shemachal Akvoide and Kvoide Machal. A Melech can never forgive his honor. Damamar, as the Pasuk teaches us, Saim Tasu Alecha Melech, Shetei Amasa Alecha. Why? So why was he Michael and his covet? Says the Gemara, Prashat Rachim Havi. This happened in the fork of a road. So it wasn't so obvious that he was giving up his honor. Since it wasn't so obvious that he was giving up his honor, that's why it was permitted. So the question is, why is the Aloch the Melech Shemachal HaKvoide? Everybody else could forgive their honor, but a Melech can never forgive their honor. Why is that the Aloch? So there's a number of Pshatim. Rashi explains that a melech is a king all the time. And all the time, his people have to honor him. Since they have to honor him all the time, he can't forgive his covet. The Taisus has a different pshat. Taisus pshat is that the covet that's given to a melech, the covet doesn't belong to him. The covet belongs to the kingdom. And it's not his that he could forgive. We are mevatel talmud Torah for a levaya or lachnasus kala. To take the kala to the chasna, we are mevatel Torah for that purpose. So I saw Rabbi Chanan asks that the Gemara in Masech Demayit Katan teaches us daftes of mebeis that even though talmud Torah connected kula, but if there's a mitzvah that cannot be performed by anyone else, Mevatel Talmud Torah for that purpose. So what is the Gemara teaching us? What the Gemara is teaching us, says Rabbi Chanan, is even though there are plenty of people that attend this levaya, and there are plenty of people to attend this wedding, so we would say that this is a mitzvah that could be performed by other people. And since it's a mitzvah that could be performed by other people, I shouldn't have to stop my learning. Teaches us the Gemara that mevatlin. And it says the Gemara, Amar alav Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, shemevatl tam Torah, he would stop his learning, letzos hameis, lachnosos kala. However, comments the Gemara, lemedvar amurim, when was that said? Kishain imoy kol tzorchai. When there aren't the required amount of people there. Avayesh imoy kol tzorchai, mevatlin. There's an interesting machlokes rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. Some rishonim say that this Gemara is only a rishus. That's something that you're allowed to do, but it's not something that you are obligated to do. But other rishonim, the Rosh says that everybody is obligated to do this. The Ritva says there's a difference that if it's terasoy umnasoy, if somebody's in the category of terasoy umnasoy, he's not obligated to stop his learning versus somebody who is not terasoy umnasoy. The Chalkus Mechaikik says that the way to look at this situation is if you see the Levaya, or if you're seeing the Kala, then you should stop learning to go out to the Levaya, Rachman Salon, to go out to the wedding. But if you're not, if you don't see it, you're not obligated to go look for the Levaya just to be able to attend the Levaya, unless it's a situation that you're obviously obligated to be there. The Kama called Tzarchai says the Gemara, what is the amount of people that have to be at a Levaya? Omra Shuman, Ini Mishmei Derav, Trey El Sagalfri, 12,000 people, Vishita Alpha Shapuri, and another 6,000 people holding on to Shofar announcing that there is a Levaya. That the number is Trace Alpha Gavri, you need to have 12,000 people at the Levaya, Uminayu, and from the 12,000 people who are attending the Levaya, Shita Alpha Shapure, you should have 6,000 people, 6 of the 12 should be holding a shofar announcing the Levaya. Ulama, going to Chaitzi Gavra Mebula Batskira, the amount of people that it takes to fill up the area from Chaitzi Gavra till from Ibula to Sikra. Rav Sheshes, apparently that was from the city until the cemetery. Rav Sheshes v'tem Rav Yochanan, Netilosoi k'nisinosoi. When a Talmud Chacham leaves the world, so it's like the Torah leaves the world. And just like Manasinosoi, just like we know when the Torah was given, it was given in the Midbar Sinai with Shishim Rubu, with 600,000 people, af Netilosoi b'shishim rubo. So too, when a person who spent his life learning Torah should have 600,000 people at the Levaya. However, says the Gemara, v'hani milaman dekari v'tamei. If this person learned Chumash and taught Mishnayis, learned Chumash and Mishnayis, av laman de masni, somebody who is a person who taught Torah, less l'shuroi. There is no shir. Everybody has to participate. So as we discussed, the Mishnah says, if the Kala, as she went to her wedding, there are Edom that she went out wearing this Hinuma, as the Gemara is going to describe in a moment, that's a proof that she was a psula at the time of her wedding. And since it's a proof that she was a psula at the time of her wedding, she's entitled to a ksuba of Messiah. Ask the Gemara, my Hinuma, what is a Hinuma? Says the Gemara, Sucha Bapapa Mishmei Deziri Omer, Tanura De Asa. They had a canopy made of hadassim on top of the kala. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Karisa. They used to put a veil on top of the kala, and they would cover her face. They would cover her face as she was getting married. Rabbi Yochanan Karisa and the Mamna Makalasa. He says a very interesting pshat. She used to sleep under that. Why would she sleep under it? Because the kala would sit for many hours during the wedding, and she would get tired. And it would be obviously not nice that she fell asleep during the wedding, if people would see her sleeping during the wedding. But if she wore this veil, it wouldn't be so noticeable. Rabbi Yochanan Breukheimer, that when they gave out kloyus, when they gave out grain at the wedding, that is a proof that she was a psula. Tana, Yehuda Raya, and Yehuda, that was their custom, what they did at a wedding. And therefore, this is a raya that she is a psula. But ask the Gemara b'Bavel Mai. What was the minig in Bavel through which we would know that this kala is a psula. And as Tosfos explains, the Gemara is speaking that chiluk klayis, giving out the grain, is a raya. But in other places where they did different things, therefore giving out grain is not necessarily a raya. And that's why the Gemara says, what is the definitive raya in Bavel? Amar Rav, the dugi de mishka. They used to smear the head with oil, aresh the rabbanon. They used to smear the head on the head of the talmidim, and that would be a simon. So I saw the mefarshim explain why did they do this. So first of all, they did it they should do something that which was unusual. To go over to a talmid and smear his head with oil is something that's unusual. And if they do it, it would be something that people will remember that this kala would be a psula. Why did they do it this way? Because the pasuk says, "Hine matoiv umanoim sheves achim gam yachad kishem natoiv yoyra alzokin." So the pasuk speaks about sheves achim gam yachad, how beautiful there's going to be shalom bayis. So we're wishing the chos and the kala that they should have shalom bayis, and the pasuk that speaks about people getting along speaks about shemen. Another explanation, the Chasam Sofer says that a chosin wears white clothing. An oval Rachman Tzlon would wear black clothing. So when a chosin and kala got married, they would wear white. And the pasuk says, "Bechol eis yir begadecha levonim, v'shemen aroshcha al yechzar." So again, the pasuk that speaks about people who wearing white clothing, which represent a chosin and a kala, are people who also the pasuk speaks about the shema roshcha, and that's why it was appropriate to put oil on the head of the chosin akala by a wedding of a psula. Amalei papal abaye b'mishkat dechafuf sukamar. When you say that they put oil on the head, is that speaking about special type of oil that has in it fragrance? Amalei yasma lo avdalach imach dur dekim meshecha. Didn't your mother ever put oil on your head? Aresh the rabbanon. B'shas Maisa, when you got married, Kahuda Gumer Rabbanon, Dasakle Lebrei, that he married off his daughter, Bei Rabbi Bar Ula, to the daughter of he married off his son to the daughter of Rabbi Bar Ula, Vamalei Sher Rabbi Bar Ula, Yasakle Brei, Bei Humer Rabbanon, B'dadik Mashka Resha, the Rabbanon B'shas Maisa. It was obviously that this was done all the time. Ask the Gemara, Armalosamai, what did they do by the wedding of an Almana that everybody should know that this woman is an almana, and therefore, as we've been learning, she's not entitled to a ksuba of Masayim? Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbi Yosef, Armal Seles Lekisnei. At the wedding of an almana, they didn't give out the grain, and since they didn't give out the grain, that was the simen that this kala is not a psula. We learned at the end of the Mishnah. So somebody says to someone else, this property belonged to your father, and I bought it from him. He's believed. Because we said, Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter. So ask the Gemara, and as we discussed extensively in our previous year, what the Mishnah was coming to teach us is that even though, as we spoke in the previous perek, Reb Yeshua did not subscribe to the concept of Migui, here he does. But ask the Gemara, why did the Mishnah have to come up with a case where he's speaking to the father? That he says, this property belonged to your father and I bought it from him. But listen, why don't we speak about a case that Maidir B'Shuba, Oymel Chaveroi, where somebody addresses somebody else and he says to him, Sodazu Shulcha Haisa, this property belonged to you, V'lkachtem Mimcha, and he's believed. Why do we have to speak about the father? Answers the Gemara, B'Shem Dekam Mishni Seifa, because we want to learn the Halacha. Ema Yesh Edim Shishalai, if there are Edom that it belonged to him, and then he says, "V'hu I'm a lekachta v'menu," and now he says, "I bought it from you." Ain't a neman, because now he doesn't have the migui or pesha also pesha hitter. So hechidami, exactly what is the case? Ida achla, if the person who's sitting on this property is on the property shnei chazaka, as we mentioned in our previous year, the Gemara Masechta Bava Basra Perek Cheskos Abatim teaches us that if somebody's on a property for 3 years, That's a proof that it belongs to him. So why, if he says it to him, is he Ma'aloi Mehemen? Why should he not be believed? The Chazaka supports his claim. And if he doesn't have Shnei Chazaka, if he doesn't have the Chazaka years to support his claim, Pshita Loi Mehemen, he's certainly not going to be believed. So that's why, to teach us that halacha, that's why the Mishnah taught us the halacha regarding the father. Ask the Gemara, but the same halacha applies to the son and the father. Because Ihochi Gabi Aviv Nami, either Achle Shnei Chazaka, if he's on this property for 3 years, Amayla Mehemen, why wouldn't he be believed? He has the Chazaka to support his claim. And if he wasn't on the property for 3 years, Pshitid Loi Mehemen. So explains the Gemara. Bishlam Gaba Aviv, by the father, we could have a situation where he claims Shalavicha Hoysov Lekachdeim Emenu, Mishkachslo, Kigon Sha'ochlo, Shtayim Bechaya Av, and he was on the property for 2 years during the father's lifetime, and then he was on the property for 1 year when this child was still a cotton. When the child is still a cotton, as the Gemara Bava Basra teaches us, he's not an individual who could be moicha. He's not an individual who could protest. And since he can't protest, then even if he becomes a gadol, the years that he was there don't count. Because as Rav Huna teaches us, somebody who's on the property of a cotton, it's not a chazaka, but feel a higdol. And here the chiddush is that we would think that as long as the child is a cotton, so I can't make a chazaka on that property. But after he's a gadol, maybe I can have a chazaka. So the Gemara is teaching us that since I can't achieve a chazaka, the years while he is a cotton, the chazaka is not a valid chazaka. So then even after he becomes a gadol, but already became that he's on the property and nobody pays attention and he doesn't become, it's not considered a chazaka. So, and that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach us. That if he was partially by the father, partially by the son, and the son was a cotton, it wouldn't be a valid chazaka. But ask the Gemara, if that's pshat in our Mishnah, so then the question is, Rav Huna Masnisin Asal of Shminin, is Rav Huna coming to teach us something that we learned in the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Ibais Eima, Rav Huna Diyuka de Masnisin Kama. This is not an explicit pshat in the Mishnah. Rav Huna is coming to teach us pshat in the Mishnah, and by teaching us pshat in the Mishnah, the halacha Rav Huna taught us is learned. Ibais Eima, I feel Higda Kamashmon. Rav Huna is teaching us that even if this person was on the property for 3 years after the cotton became a gadol, it still will not be a valid chazaka. Ask the Gemara, can't we say that the Mishnah is speaking about a case where he's addressing the person himself, and the chiddush will be, he was there for 2 years, and 1 year, the person who he supposedly bought it from wasn't there, Gugan Shabarach, he ran away. And therefore, the Mishnah is coming to teach us that if he wasn't able to protest, it doesn't count towards a chazaka. But ask the Gemara, let's understand this halacha. Baruch Machem Smai, why did this person run away? If he ran away, Machem Nefashos, because he was in mortal danger, Pshita Deloy Mehemen, Deloy Matzil Mechus, of course he couldn't protest. He didn't want that those who were chasing him should know where he is. And if he's going to send some sort of a protest, he'll be caught. And if he ran away because people were trying to collect money from him, which he couldn't pay, so he should have protested. The Kaima Lon, and the halacha is that if you send a protest, even though you're not personally here to make the protest, it's considered a machal. The Tanan, and the Gemara brings a proof that sending a protest, even though you're not personally there, is considered a valid protest. Because the Mishnah Masechet Bava Basra teaches us, Shalosh Arzus L'Chazaka, there are three distinct regions in Eretz Yisrael, Yehuda, Eva Yad, and Vagolo. Hayu B'Yehuda, if somebody is in Yehuda, V'Hichzik B'Golo, B'Golo V'Hichzik B'Yehuda, Ein HaChazaka, it's not considered a Chazaka, Acheim Medina. That the person who owned the property previously should be there with you. Viba Vavinaba. And in order to understand that Mishnah, we try to understand Mike Sava. What is the opinion of that Tana? That even if you're not there, by sending your protest, it's considered a valid protest. So then why in Yehuda and Galil, where the person who's on the property is in Yehuda and the other person's in Galil, or vice versa, Nami, it should be considered a valid chazakah because the person could send his protest. That only time it's considered a valid protest is if they're actually together in the same place. So why does the Mishnah speak about Yehuda and Gola and Eivra Yardin? I feel Yehuda v'Yehuda namiloi if they're not together. Answers the Gemara. Amr of Abba Bamamal. Lo'alun kusav mechah shle b'fan of Abba mechah. You don't have to be there. However, masnis b'shas chem shanu. When there's no communication between these different areas, then mechah shle b'fan of lo'y have a mechah, because there's no way for him to send his protest. So ask the Gemara, Mashna Yehuda v'Galil d'Nakat. So why were Yehuda and Galil specifically mentioned? The Stam Yehuda v'Galil, the Mishnah there is teaching us that under normal circumstances, Yehuda v'Galil k'shas cherem dami are to be considered like areas where there's no communication, and therefore, since they're always in a situation of battle, there's no communication between these two countries, and in those kind of situation, a mechah shalai b'fanav, a mechah that's not done, that you know that the person supposed to hear the protest heard it, lo yav mechah is not considered a valid mechah.